Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel avanzado. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Escuche la grabación. Elija la mejor opción. A, B o C. Escriba su respuesta en el espacio correspondiente. El texto se escuchará dos veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
But we start this week with an actor who restored the popularity of silent comedy in Mr. Bean, but now takes on his first stage play for a quarter of a century as a nearly silent character in a tragic comedy. Rowan Atkinson plays St. John Quatermain, a kind but almost pathologically diffident teacher at an English language school for overseas students in Cambridge in the 1960s. So Rowan Atkinson is playing St. John Quatermain, who is this ineffectual but much loved within the staff room teacher. Actors want to do different things. I mean, you've famously done a lot of extreme physical farce in your life. This is the rather far extreme. There are stretches of half an hour or so in which you don't get out of the armchair, so it's very different.
Yes, yes. If you were looking for, you know, the most sedentary role in theatre, I think St. John Quatermain would just about fit the bill. Yes, there's a lot of inactivity, which actually lends, you know, from the actor's point of view, it's quite tricky trying to work out what you're going to do for those long periods of time when you're sat in an armchair staring into space, which is what Quatermain tends to do whenever he's not talking, on those rare occasions when the activity around him engages him. And we've deliberately not given him any displacement activities. You know, he doesn't read newspapers, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't pick up a magazine and have a glance at it. He literally just sits there, which is fine, it's fun, is, you know, but not as restful an acting challenge as you might think.
And the other thing, one of the other things I love about this play, Richard, with, again, we're not giving away too much here because people won't know who they are, but its use of offstage character. There's a sort of massacre that goes on offstage. At least 4 characters die offstage in fairly horrible ways. I think personally 5, but I differ on this. But one of them is probably a murder. Another one is quite possibly a suicide. It's amazing. And all these things are, well, there's very little obvious action going on stage, but all this stuff is going on offstage. And we're used to, I'm well used to doing this job, Ren, to all these big American movie stars saying, I really want to do theatre because that's what I ought to be doing. But it is an interesting thing. You don't have to do this. I mean, you could be making movies. So tell us, why do you want to do this?
Well, I hadn't done theatre for a long time until I played Fagin in the revival of Oliver 3-4 years ago. But, of course, like most people of my generation, theatre is where you start. You know, if you're going to entertain or act in any way, even though, of course, you know, my acting was largely sort of, you know, shallow comedy stuff. But actually, when I did Oliver Asenizal, actually, I understand theatre. I think I know how it works. It's a medium in which I feel surprisingly comfortable. And in terms of the job of acting, even though it's definitely a serious play, it's got jokes in it, some rather good jokes in it, but it is basically a serious play, and Quatermain is definitely basically a serious part, the most sort of overtly serious role probably I've ever played. But I'm a great believer that if you are a character actor, which in the end I think is all I am, I'm not really a lead actor, I'm a great believer that the job of acting seriously is the same as the job of acting funnily. In the end, all you're trying to do is present a truth. So the challenge is the same, and the satisfaction is the same, whether you're acting funny or serious.
Finally, we just worked out, so we think, 25 years since your last spoken role on stage, which would take us to 2038 for the next one, but are you going to speed up a bit?
And no plans to speed up or slow down, you know, just trying to do things that I quite like doing and that I feel as though I could do well. I mean, you've got to believe that you can do it well. I don't like the idea of just having a stab at things, you know, having a stab at Richard II, you know, is not something that I want to do. You know, I would only try it if I felt as though I was A, of the right age, you know, B, could do it well.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
But we start this week with an actor who restored the popularity of silent comedy in Mr. Bean, but now takes on his first stage play for a quarter of a century as a nearly silent character in a tragicomedy. Rowan Atkinson plays St. John Quatermain, a kind but almost pathologically diffident teacher at an English language school for overseas students in Cambridge in the 1960s. So Rowan Atkinson is playing St. John Quatermain, who is this ineffectual but much loved within the staff room teacher. Actors want to do different things. I mean, you've famously done a lot of extreme physical farce in your life. This is the rather far extreme. There are stretches of half an hour or so in which you don't get out of the armchair, so it's very different.
Yes, if you were looking for, you know, the most sedentary role in theatre, I think St. John Quatermain would just about fit the bill. Yes, there's a lot of inactivity, which actually lends, you know, from the actor's point of view, it's quite tricky trying to work out what you're going to do for those long periods of time when you're sat in an armchair staring into space, which is what Quatermain tends to do whenever he's not talking, on those rare occasions when the activity around him engages him. And we've deliberately not given him any displacement activities. You know, he doesn't read newspapers, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't pick up a magazine and have a glance at it. He literally just sits there, which is fine, it's fun, but not as restful an acting challenge as you might think.
And the other thing, one of the other things I love about this play, Richard, is, again, we're not giving away too much here because people won't know who they are, but its use of offstage character, there's a sort of massacre that goes on offstage. At least four characters die offstage in fairly horrible ways. I think personally five, but I differ on this. But one of them is probably a murder. Another one is quite possibly a suicide. It's amazing. And all these things are, well, there's very little obvious action going on stage, but all this stuff is going on offstage. And we're used, I'm well used doing this job, around to all these big American movie stars saying, I really want to do theatre because that's what I ought to be doing. But it is an interesting thing. You don't have to do this. I mean, you could be making movies. So tell us, why do you want to do this?
Well, I hadn't done theatre for a long time until I played Fagin in the revival of Oliver 3-4 years ago. But, of course, like most people of my generation, theatre is where you start. You know, if you're going to entertain or act in any way, even though, of course, you know, my acting was largely sort of, you know, shallow comedy stuff. But actually, when I did Oliver, I said, well, actually, I understand theatre. I think I know how it works. It's a medium in which I feel surprisingly comfortable. And in terms of the job of acting, even though it's definitely a serious play, it's got jokes in it, some rather good jokes in it, but it is basically a serious play, and Quatermain is definitely basically a serious part, the most sort of overtly serious role probably I've ever played. But I'm a great believer that if you are a character actor, which in the end I think is all I am, I'm not really a lead actor, I'm a great believer that the job of acting seriously is the same as the job of acting... Funnily, in the end, all you're trying to do is present a truth. So the challenge is the same, and the satisfaction is the same, whether you're acting funny or serious.
Finally, we just worked out, so we think, 25 years since your last spoken role on stage, which would take us to 2038 for the next one, but are you going to speed up a bit?
And no plans to speed up or slow down, you know, just trying to do things that I quite like doing and that I feel as though I could do well. I mean, you've got to believe that you can do it well. I don't like the idea of just having a stab at things, you know, having a stab at Richard II, you know, is not something that I want to do. You know, I would only try it if I felt as though I was A, of the right age, you know, B, could do it well.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Escuche la grabación. Marque las 10 respuestas correctas. Escriba su respuesta en el espacio correspondiente. El texto se escuchará dos veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Today we visit Scotland to find out what a Scottish schoolgirl thinks of her school meals. And because the European Cup football matches have reached an interesting stage, and poor old England have been knocked out by Italy, this might be a good time to learn a new football expression. Martha Payne is 9 years old. She lives in a small community in Scotland called Loch Gilphead. Like many British school children, Martha has a meal at school in the middle of the day. In English, we often call these meals school dinners. Everyone remembers the school dinners at their school. Perhaps they loved their school dinners, or they hated them, or they remember funny things about them. At my school, way back in the 1950s, we sometimes got bilberry tart and custard for dessert. I remember that the bilberries made our tongues blue. We used to go around sticking our blue tongues out at each other. Martha is interested in the food at her school. She is interested in how good it tastes and how healthy it is and whether it contains any hairs. A few months ago, she started to write a blog about her school dinners. She took her camera into school to photograph her school dinner, and then she posted the picture in her blog and told us what she thought about the food. Most days, she thought the food was okay, and on some days, she thought it was really good. Children in other schools and in other countries started to read Martha's blog. Some of them left comments to say what they thought about Martha's school dinners. And some sent Martha pictures of their own school dinners, and Martha published these on her blog. And then Martha started to use her blog to raise money for a charity called Mary's Meals, which provides school meals for children in poor communities in developing countries. And at this point, the bureaucrats who run the education system in the part of Scotland where Martha lives became aware of her blog. And they did not like it. They did not want publicity about the food in their schools. Perhaps they were afraid that people would start to criticise their school dinners and say that they were unhealthy. They decided that Martha's blog had to stop. Martha's head teacher told Martha the bad news, and Martha was sad and wrote a final blog post to say goodbye to her many readers. At this point, we will make a little diversion to talk about football. In football, you try to kick the ball into the other team's goal. It is a big mistake to kick the ball into your own goal. Of course, sometimes, by accident, footballers do put the ball into their own goal. When this happens, we call it an own goal. We can use this expression outside football as well. Imagine that you do something and it goes spectacularly wrong. It has completely the opposite effect of what you intended. You hoped that it would make things better, but actually it makes things a lot worse. We call that an own goal. Well, the bureaucrats who decided that Martha had to stop her blog did not want people talking about the school dinners in their schools. But you can imagine what actually happened. The newspapers, the radio and the television all carried stories about Martha's blog. People wrote about it in Facebook and sent tweets about it in Twitter. This was not at all what the bureaucrats wanted. Banning Martha's blog was an own goal.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto. para comprobar sus respuestas.
Today we visit Scotland to find out what a Scottish schoolgirl thinks of her school meals. And because the European Cup football matches have reached an interesting stage, and poor old England have been knocked out by Italy, this might be a good time to learn a new football expression. Martha Payne is 9 years old. She lives in a small community in Scotland called Loch Gilphead. Like many British school children, Martha has a meal at school in the middle of the day. In English, we often call these meals school dinners. Everyone remembers the school dinners at their school. Perhaps they loved their school dinners, or they hated them, or they remember funny things about them. At my school, way back in the 1950s, we sometimes got bilberry tart and custard for dessert. I remember that the bilberries made our tongues blue. We used to go around sticking our blue tongues out at each other. Martha is interested in the food at her school. She is interested in how good it tastes and how healthy it is, and whether it contains any hairs. A few months ago, she started to write a blog about her school dinners. She took her camera into school to photograph her school dinner, and then she posted the picture in her blog and told us what she thought about the food. Most days, she thought the food was okay, and on some days, she thought it was really good. Children in other schools and in other countries started to read Martha's blog. Some of them left comments to say what they thought about Martha's school dinners. And some sent Martha pictures of their own school dinners, and Martha published these on her blog. And then Martha started to use her blog to raise money for a charity called Mary's Meals, which provides school meals for children in poor communities in developing countries. And at this point, the bureaucrats who run the education system in the part of Scotland where Martha lives became aware of her blog. And they did not like it. They did not want publicity about the food in their schools. Perhaps they were afraid that people would start to criticise their school dinners and say that they were unhealthy. They decided that Martha's blog had to stop. Martha's head teacher told Martha the bad news, and Martha was sad and wrote a final blog post to say goodbye to her many readers. At this point, we will make a little diversion to talk about football. In football, you try to kick the ball into the other team's goal. It is a big mistake to kick the ball into your own goal. Of course, sometimes, by accident, footballers do put the ball into their own goal. When this happens, we call it an own goal. We can use this expression outside football as well. Imagine that you do something, and it goes spectacularly wrong. It has completely the opposite effect of what you intended. You hoped that it would make things better, but actually it makes things a lot worse. We call that an own goal. Well, the bureaucrats who decided that Martha had to stop her blog did not want people talking about the school dinners in their schools. But you can imagine what actually happened. The newspapers, the radio and the television all carried stories about Martha's blog. People wrote about it in Facebook and sent tweets about it in Twitter. This was not at all what the bureaucrats wanted. Banning Martha's blog was an own goal.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2.